I want to introduce myself. Just stay standing. I got some things we're going to do together, a little bit fun. My name is Dan Wickert, and I am a member here at Faith Church. So this is my home church. I currently serve here at church in our counseling center ministry. I'm part of our teaching staff, and then on Monday afternoons, I spend time in the counseling room. I have three ongoing cases. I also co-teach one of our adult Sunday school classes called ABFs with Scott Grass, who's our school administrator. And the rest of my time, I spend as an OBGYN. I've been in practice here in Lafayette for now almost 27 years. I'm currently in a group of three of us, but a larger group of about 13 doctors, 13 OBGYNs together practicing. And as we begin, I know there's, you know, it's afternoon and it's hard to keep up on everything. I do want to let you know a little bit about what my life is like a little bit sometimes. And oftentimes, you know, as an OBGYN, I get asked a lot of questions. So I want to tell you some of the, and let you see some of the questions I get asked and see how you would answer them along with how I answer them, okay? Is that fair? So let's get started. Pregnancy questions. Number one, should I have a baby after 35? Here's my answer. No, 35 children is enough. I'm 2 months pregnant now. When will my baby move? Yeah, that's right. With any luck, right after he finishes college. And by the way, I get to do some things nobody else can do as an OBGYN, okay? Because no one else can do this, but I can. What's the most reliable method to turn a baby sex? Childbirth. However, I do get some husbands that get it wrong even at childbirth. So the baby comes out and they say, I'm like, you want to look again? My wife is 5 months pregnant and so moody that sometimes she's borderline irrational. So, what's your question? By the way, any childbirth instructors in the room? I don't want to offend you too much, but one, okay. My childbirth instructor says it's not pain I'll feel during labor. No pain, just pressure. Is she right? Well, my answer is yes, in the same way that a tornado might be called an air current. There you go. And when's the best time to get an epidural? Guys, we would have this one nailed down, okay? When's the best time to get an epidural? Right after you find out you're pregnant. Just take care of me the whole pregnancy. Lastly, I heard this one. This is in a note from a husband to his wife. So a note from a husband to his wife. You ready? We'll see who gets this and who doesn't, okay? From a husband to his wife. Your doctor's office called and your Pabst beer is normal. If you don't get it, ask somebody next to you, okay? So I have, we call them icebreakers. They help me too. So I have three sessions with you. I have one today and two tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about depression and then understanding and overcoming sexual sin. Today we're going to talk about the issue of biblical principles of sex. And I want to start off by at least talking about this. We realize this could be a very challenging topic for some of our, and I'm not going to ask, okay? We're not going to ask hands or anything like that. But I know this can be a challenging topic for some of our singles, because singles would be like, hey, look, Can I leave now? For singles who either, number one, have experienced sexual relations outside the bounds of God's blessings, or have yet to experience but would like to experience the joy and pleasure of God's design for sex. Now, I think this session can still be very helpful for you, even as a single, in a number of ways. First, it can help you think correctly and biblically about the topic, because all too often when we think about this topic, there are overlays of Hollywood, Playboy, movie. I mean, that cultural aspect of this topic is huge overtones in this topic. The session can greatly help you prepare to be for God-honoring sexual relations within the bounds of marriage. So for many of you who are single, my suspicion is at some point you will be married. Boy, you need to know about this now before you get married. Not wait till afterwards. Second, it's highly likely that many, if not most, of our singles have other single friends. Duh. Who want to experience sex as well. And you may serve as a counselor to some of your friends in the midst of everyday life about God's picture of sexual relations. And third, it may be that a few of you will actually counsel a couple more formally in this area. So I think, although the singles will say, oh, I can just leave, my answer is no. In fact, I taught this once at a college and outside of the country. And it was very interesting because college kids, and no matter whether they're American or they're all the same. And so, the guys, a lot of bravado. The guys are like, oh, do we have to stay in this? I think we heard this before and we don't need this. And I was like, look, you guys want to be here. I don't want you here. That's fine by me. You can leave. When they left, not all of them left. When they left, I said to the girls who stayed, girls, right now you ought to look and see who left and who stayed. Do you really want to get married to one of those guys who said, I don't need this and I don't know? Is that who you really want to? Interesting. Three important reasons for studying the subject of sex. Number one, our culture endorses a wrong view of sex and sexual relations. And again, these points are pretty obvious, aren't they? We could mention homosexuality, bisexuality, consenting adults, premarital intercourse, adult forms of pornography. I mean, right now in our culture, sex and getting married, like, why do that? I mean, it's almost accepted that, I mean, you don't have to be married to have sex. It's just the wrong view of sex and sexual relations. And unfortunately, many believers have been influenced towards unbiblical views of sex. This could be from teaching at home where sex was not discussed. You say, well, oh, I'm not going to teach about sex because we're never going to talk about it. Guess what? You are teaching about sex even when you don't talk about it. That teaches about sex. Or it may have been considered dirty, or it could relate to the difficult sexual experiences of a marriage partner, either by consent or through violence, or simply an ignorance of what the Bible says. And God's word speaks often about the right view of sex and sexual relations. And think about this. I mean, is this just a current cultural issue about sex and problems? The answer is no, because think back. In biblical times, did ancient Israel struggle with this issue? Old Testament is just overflowing with examples where wrong views of sex and sexual relations. Ancient Israel struggled, the Greeks did, the Romans did, influencing the New Testament. I mean, it was just there all the time. Now, we need to do a sex quiz. And you ready? So this is true or false. And the quiz means you have to respond. And here's the important part. Here's what's very interesting. There's a number of questions here. And what's very interesting, guys, you need to respond too, because oftentimes it's just the women who respond. So guys, you need to respond. Number one, sex should be part of discussions about gospel-centered living. True or false?
True.
Good job, guys. God intended sex to be fun, satisfying, and desirable for the husband and wife.
True.
It's okay to make excuses in order to avoid sexual relations with your spouse.
False.
You guys are doing great. Selfishness in sexual relations is forbidden by Scripture.
True.
How about just selfishness? Right? Is that fair? Okay.